Dumpster Divas, welcome to another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister,
Kix Hamlet. We are here to dive into the reality TV that made us, well, the garbage we are.
I know, that's right. And expect like a mix of throwback recaps as well as chats about what we are still watching today.
Tom, are you ready to get into it?
Let's go. Hi, Kix.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going good. It's Thursday. You're listening to this on Friday, which means it's Friday.
I know, and we have a fun... I'm so excited about our little Saturday evening plans.
Yes, we're going to see the Barbie movie and with friends of the pod and friends in real life, Donnie and Noor.
Yeah, we're doing a little pod meetup at the Barbie movie, which will be really fun.
And we see Beyonce in 8 days.
Yes. Also,
in 9 days.
Yeah. And then I didn't say this on Wednesday's episode, but Zach Peters of No Filter Podcast with Zach Peters is having me in his live show next Wednesday at City Winery, at the Loft at City Winery in New York City. So if you're in New York City and you would like to come just hear people gab about Bravo, I will be there. I am emceeing the night. And Megan King Edmonds of OC fame will be there.
Exciting.
I really
last time Tom did this, he said something really wild,
really inappropriate.
And I was gonna say that specific person you were talking about probably will never come back on this podcast again.
No, but there's no way it ever got to them. And then that was not like recorded because they were on a specific tour. I think the one tomorrow is recorded and put in podcast form. So maybe I'll have to, you know, keep it a little more PC. But that one was not recorded. And I don't think no one there knew who I was. And then I'll explain what happened.
Because, well, I was going to say, Dorinda, never, say it, forget it, write it, regret it.
Right. And I'm still saying it, but then podcast
this
came
along. This
doesn't
count anymore.
But then podcast came along where you kind of are saying it and not forgetting it. So it was me. It was like a group of podcasters / Bravo kind of adjacent people. And everyone had to list like who was the worst like guests they've had on their podcast, which in hindsight, I was like, what an awful question.
Yeah, literally. It's not like you're leading.
It's just
people
not that
to,
fun. You're leading people to regret what they have to say. And to be honest with you guys, I would say we've had like maybe two or three that were weird, not bad.
We've never had a bad experience.
No, we've never had someone like sign off. We've never asked someone to leave. We've never had to edit out like crazy racist shit. I mean, I think Kix and I do a good job of vetting good people to come on here. And there's some people that have not been on here. And if you're wondering why, just keep wondering because there might be a reason. But there is, I revealed a guest that we had that we had a not great, it was a weird interview and then their internet connection.
It was honestly a weird vibe.
Yeah, their vibe was really weird. And they showed up half an hour late with a bad internet connection and then made it seem like it was us that, like, we did something wrong. And we were like, well, we didn't. And this was also like peak COVID where... we were not even a year into the pod and it was weird. And right after we pressed stop recording, they said on the Zoom, thinking that no one could hear them for some, also this isn't their person's first rodeo in podcasting. They said on the Zoom, they're like, thank God that's over.
Crazy.
It's like, hey, bye.
Bye.
So that was weird. So I revealed that, but then I also did say their government name.
Uh-huh. You did use government name.
I wasn't going to, but then Zach pulls in this kind of gaggle of women that just are just like, they're like, say their name, like screaming. And so, yeah, they were just really riling up me to say the person's name, and I said it. And then literally no one said anything, and I was like, well, I shouldn't have said it because none of y'all care. But then I just felt bad that I outed them. So
anyways,
that happened last time. But this time, I don't think I'll be saying those things. But I'm very excited to meet Megan King Edmonds, who was a Biden for a second.
For literally one second.
I won't be bringing that up.
I think it might have been 6 months.
They annulled, I believe. So it had to have been under 6 months. Because in six months, the annulment line.
You know what? Don't fucking have a clue.
I think it is.
The only reason I would know is because of that movie, What Happens in Vegas, which I really love.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Ashton Kutcher.
And Brittany Murphy.
Yeah. No.
Yes, it is Brittany Murphy.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it is not. Tom, no, it is not.
Okay, tell me who it is.
I think it's Cameron Diaz.
I'm pretty sure it's Brittany Murphy.
No, it's not. I think, hold on. What happens in Vegas? I'm fucking right. Okay, I love being right. I love being right. It's Cameron Diaz and Ashton Kutcher.
Brittany Murphy and Ashton, I thought, had something. Do they not have a movie
together?
This happened
in 2008. I think Brittany Murphy was no longer with us.
I don't know that that's true because I think she died after I was out of high school. Well, we're not going to sit and Google.
She died in 2009. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Anyways. We each got a point. I thought that Brittany and Ashton had a film vehicle, but we can kind of, once again, not Google that. Yeah. That's just not really a podcast.
Yeah. Let's have sibling fights to see who's right. For 35 more minutes.
Well, I don't really care. I don't care about being right because I think I'm right most of the time.
There it is. You're such a fucking Sagittarius. It's so annoying.
I am. I don't really care about the zodiac stuff. But when I feel my Sagittarius, you don't care because
you know that it's like right. You're like, I just don't care about it.
This is a potential mother.
So annoying.
That was about me if you didn't catch it.
Yeah, I got that. Not your dog waving his tail in the background of the Zoom.
No, but do come to the show. I'm actually really excited to meet Megan because she was such a bright spot in a very dark season. She literally single-handedly revealed Brooks's cancer scam, all the things.
There was this person on TikTok. I saved the video because I tried to repost it to our Instagram, but it was 3 whole minutes long, so it wouldn't stay on the stories. Maybe we'll put it on the main feed. But she wrote out a whole list of like 10 house like Bravo scandals that were worse than Scandoval.
To me, that is still the biggest, to be honest with you. Because let's go through them. Erica and Tom, the thing with that that I always say is it's not as interesting as everyone wants it to be. Erica didn't do anything, right?
Right.
And Erica actually had no involvement with Tom.
Right.
She just was with a really bad person. I think she navigated things terribly, but I mean,
yeah,
And I'm not saying I know how I would have navigated it, but I certainly think it wouldn't have been the way she did.
That way.
but to me, it's not that interesting because she's not a part of it.
She's not the villain. I mean, she's the villain, but she's not like the criminal in it.
Sure. Jen is interesting to me because she did do a lot of things and contradicts herself on camera. So I will give her that.
That was pretty crazy.
The Scandoval of it all is interesting because the reason that is interesting is because I think the way we got to the seediness is expected out of that group, but it was from an unexpected source. And we got to watch the show play out like around it, which made the show better. So,
yeah,
I
feel like Scandoval wasn't as scandalous as other shit. Also because like the girls on Vanderpump Rules had been telling this story over and over again. Like Kristen was like, he's a bad guy. And then all Miami girl and like Ariana was like, you know, so it wasn't like it was shocking, but like you're saying, it was shocking because cameras were just down and got to be brought back up. But yeah.
Right. So then the thing about the cancer, the Brooks of it all, right, is that Vicky is kind of compliant in a lot of it because we're watching a woman who we've seen on our screens for, at that point, we had already seen her on our screens for like 12 years. And she had gone through tumultuous relationships. And I don't know, there's something about seeing her fall for a scammer and seeing it on camera. I guess it is kind of similar to Scandoval in a way, where he's a scammer as well. I don't know, there's something riveting about it. And it was right on the cusp of social media being like a news outlet. Like, it was pre that.
Right.
We were like 2-3 years away from Instagram becoming what it is. But I watched that season live, had no idea what was coming. And I remember there's a scene where they all, Ben King Edmonds and Tamara and maybe Heather, sit down with a psychic and Shannon. And the psychic says, like, Brooks is faking cancer. And I remember being like, this is weird. Like, this can't be real.
What season is it?
I believe it's 10.
Okay. I feel like it wasn't that long ago, but for some reason it feels like a century ago.
No, I think we're on season 18 right now.
It's 17. Yeah, but yes, so almost a century.
So it was a bit ago. But I just, you didn't know that how real it was until it just began to unfold on the season, and that I just missed that. And you know what, this brings me to something I want to talk about. I know you don't care. You don't care as much as I do about Vanderpump Rules, but I'm so annoyed, and I'm just going to say it. And if you're listening and you're part of the problem, kind of like just reevaluate. Why are we posting every spoiler to what is unfolding on the season that we have yet to watch of Vanderpump Rules? I'm like, what? What are we doing?
What's the point?
There's so much content to be made. Like, you can make a meme. You can make. There's so many news things to talk about. There's shitty reality TV news to talk about. I just don't understand why we're. There is a huge spoiler that, if you want to skip the spoiler, go ahead. Maybe like a minute, but apparently Raquel gave James and Raquel's dog to a shelter, like abandoned the dog instead of giving it back to James. And it all kind of unfolded, and James is now finally and has the dog, which is the dog that they got together.
Like, Tahoe trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't
that's
even.
That's like a storyline on a show that would have been really riveting to watch.
Sandoval is there is also like a storyline of the show. It's like, I think this was the problem I always have with Beverly Hills, is that this is how Beverly Hills also always plays out. I feel like this season of Beverly Hills that's going to air soon, other than the Kyle stuff, like, is the first season in a long time we don't have like crazy fucking spoilers.
Yeah, because because Lisa's the second, not there.
Yeah, exactly. That's honestly, you're right. But I mean, it's like, I don't want to watch a show that I know what's going to happen. Like, where it's interesting was Scandoval, because it happened post
right
production.
Like, so, they should take a note from their own show.
Yeah.
Like, their show became interesting again when we found out something that happened like as the show aired.
Right.
And call me old fashioned, but as shows should. Can you imagine watching like Riverdale and like knowing someone dies? Like, I say Riverdale because you love Riverdale, but like a show that you love. What?
Don't drag me.
It just looked like Grizz jumped out that window, because like your window is covered and he just kicks is sitting like in front of her couch and her mic is blocking the window, and Grizz, her cat, just walks behind her head, and then you see Grizz jump into what looks like the window and then disappears.
It wouldn't be the first time.
No.
Do you want to share that with the audience? The secret that you kept for like 6 years from me?
I think it was a good secret to keep. I don't think there was any good reason to tell you about that.
I guess
it was protecting
the fact that so many other people knew was really shocking.
So, in our old apartment, we talked about this. We talked about the same kind of situation last week. We would keep our windows open all the time because it was so hot. Now, Kix has her cat Grizz, and he was
as
there.
Everybody knows, because it's my only personality trait.
And you know, we always made sure to put our little, what are they called?
Screens.
Yeah. Little screens in the windows when we would open them to make sure that, one, of course, no bugs get in, but then also we had a cat that could get out, so don't let the cat get out. Now, we had a little, like, shelf, very narrow shelf area outside of
could maybe hold, like, a small, like, planter pot.
Yeah, but... Yes, but like a succulent, like very narrow. Yeah, I was saying Coke can. Like, it's not, it just like more was like a scaffold. It was like a look that a molding that the exterior of the building had.
That they annoyingly took off. It was like,
for
what's
no reason.
Why?
Right, right. Yeah. So one day I'm walking, and Grizz always like to sit in the windows and kind of like, and he does that at your apartment and watch the world go by, as all cats do. I'm walking, I get up at one morning, Kix is gone. I'm walking. I'm cleaning the apartment maybe, and I go and open the window just to, like, get some air flowing. And then it was a quick, like, open the window, run to the kitchen, grab a drink, come back to the living room.
I think
room.
You were smoking.
No, I wasn't. It was something like, not cigarettes, mom and dad.
Yeah.
Back in my chain smoking days. No, but I opened
Dad texts us, be like, Tom, you smoke cigarettes, what?
Right. No, I opened the window. I remember it vividly. Opened the window, went to go do something, came right back. And by the time I came back, Grizz was sitting in the windowsill. And I was like, oh, Grizz, you look so... Oh, my God. Grizz is not sitting in the windowsill. Grizz is sitting... outside on the scaffolding front, like the front of the building.
We're on the sixth floor.
Sixth floor. Cats have nine lives, but I don't know about a sixth floor.
Not sixth floor level.
No. So I have a weird, I have like a weird fight or flight where I don't, when something's really, really serious, I don't panic and I get really like practical. Like,
I'm going to solve this now.
My puzzle brain activates. And so the first thing I thought of, which thankfully saved the day, was he had his treats. And I just like, I didn't panic. Cause whenever a dog, whenever someone's like, they always say when a pet is like running away, you don't chase it. You need to like, cause then they think it's a game. So I was like, I'm just going to go walk calmly into the kitchen. Cause Grizz isn't going to like jump off the building just alone. He's going to think he's playing a game. So I go into the kitchen and I shake his treats and he comes trotting back in. And I was like, oh my God. And then I didn't tell Kix until we moved out.
Yeah. And until Tom they and moved I lived out. Together for like, no, it was after it was like much after I moved out.
No, I know. I meant it wasn't after I moved out. I was still living there when I told you, but it was a bit after you had left.
Yeah.
But I called mom immediately. And I said, we have to keep this tight between you
well,
and
yeah,
I.
Yeah, because you and mom liked a little gossipy little girl.
I had to tell someone. I almost killed your cat.
Oh boy. But, well, we're here to talk about what we're watching.
Yeah, well, we're talking about what we're watching.
You're watching my cat out the window.
Well, no, we were talking about Vanderpump Rules and
No. Well, I just watched the most recent episode of OC and I want to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it. Team Jen with two N's, by the way.
That's what I was gonna say. I have a lot of questions for you as a seasoned queen, if you will. Does Gina always pretend to have a New York City accent?
So, yes. So Kix is new to OC, really. I mean, this is kind of your first season, right?
I've watched...
you dabbled a bit last season,
yeah.
But then
Yeah. And the season before.
It.
It's like I always watch like the first two episodes, and then I'm like... I don't watch this.
So, Pat Regan, friend of the pod, Pat Regan.
Yes.
Was on Bitch Sesh. And he said that he was a nanny for a long time in the city, and that he's friendly with another nanny who used to nanny for Gina when Gina lived in the city.
As Gina was a child,
Gina's children.
Got it. Because she could be 50 or she could be 25. Like, I don't know.
So I think she's four. She's early 40s. And said that she did not have an accent like she does on TV when she was the nanny for the kids. So the accent is insane. She's like, so what I thought to do. She sounds like if Marissa Tomei and my cousin Vinny like did meth.
Like, but there's also like there was something when I was watching this episode. I was like, that is Canadian. Like, she says some things that I'm like, you're trying so hard that you've missed the mark.
She's like, so, well, Heather, what
about
Heather,
what a boat?
Yeah, I don't even. It is a mush mouth of a. It's hard to listen. It's hard on the ears.
How many people were scared? Me too. I was really, really scared.
No, I can't stop thinking about it. I can't watch this fucking show without being like, I had to make sure she was actually from New York City.
She's from Long Island, yeah.
It would not surprise me if she was not.
No, she's
similar
from
to Dorit. Of like her accent like is so fake that it's like she's clearly not from where she's trying to pretend she is, wherever that is. That I was like, I could see that for Gina as well, but.
Dorit makes a little more sense to me because she lived in the UK, so she has for a while.
And her children have, right.
Yeah, and her husband. Like, so I'm sure if you and I lived in London for a year and had London partners, like English partners, like, and all, I'm sure we would come back and say a couple things in a weird way, not unintentionally. And people
no,
would be
I
like,
absolutely agree with
and
you.
People would be like, get a grip.
You're annoying as fuck.
Right.
So, yeah.
No, but
that's the only thing I took away from this episode. Honestly, it's just I can't watch it without thinking like, God, that is so annoying.
She's just annoying across the board. And she, in the end, it's I said this when I think someone else was on the pod talking with me about it. But she and Dorinda at this point have the same length of time on a Housewives television program.
Why do you say that?
They've both been on for 5 seasons. Like, that is insane to me.
I see.
Like, Gina is an awful housewife. And Dorinda, one of the greatest.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That is really confusing. Yes.
No, I know. It's
to me,
very
Gina
confusing.
Could be there. This could be her second season. Every season is her second
first.
Season.
I mean, every season I'm like, who are you? The only interesting about her was that, interesting about her is that she had a DUI. Because, do you know where she got her DUI from?
Is it Palm Beach, Florida?
No, she got a DUI driving home from a LuLaRoe party.
Oh my God.
No, I don't think you understand. I'm obsessed.
No, I literally, am. Like, now I kind of like her more.
Well, I know. Now you're like, you kind of get her more now.
Yeah, sure.
No, but I want to talk about two and Jen. Two and Jen. So, there was a Jen, I don't think you realize this, but there was a Jen on last season who was also with Orion. And then
of
she
course.
Got fired, so they replaced her with a Jen
County.
With another
Everybody
night.
Has a Jen, everybody has Orion.
Right. So so this season, Jen, I gotta say, I think Jen is kind of a star. The way she just goes, Tamara is trying so, and
she's trying so hard.
And I honestly don't dislike Tamara for the show. I don't want to be her friend, but like, I think she provides a necessary evil. I honestly think she probably is fun. If we went out with her, we would have a good time.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't even think she's a bad person. I just think she knows how, I think she just has that reality TV brain. And she's like, we got to talk about it. So let's talk about it. And I'm going to scream because that makes good TV and all this stuff. Right. And so, but the way Jen is so just deadpanning her. It's at Nobu, it's pretty genius.
I think she's great. I think that like she is also down to talk about her shit, but also like be kind of secretive enough that you're intrigued. I just like this whole Nobu. The other question I have for you is, Heather Dubrow sponsored by Nobu? It's like,
no, she's just a rich piece of shit.
There's gotta be other places to eat.
I don't know. It is Newport Beach.
Have you had Nobu? Is it like, God forbid, like the best thing in the world?
No. I've actually never been to Nobu, but I don't know. How do I say this? I know some rich people through places of employment, and all they talk about whenever they can is their love of Nobu. Almost like that.
Or
it's sugar like
fish.
No, not Sugarfish. Sugarfish is not Sugarfish is not that level.
Got it.
Sugarfish is more an influencer aesthetic thing because of like the way like more people post it, the boxes, right? Because it's like so cute. Nobu is like exclusive. Although we could go to Nobu. It's not like it's not impossible to get in, but it's like if you can spend money at Nobu, you must be someone. And I know quite a few rich people that like to just say, well, let's just go to Nobu. And it's like they say it because they want to sound like a rich piece of shit. And I roll my eyes every time they say
it. My eyes are rolling.
No, I know. I'm like, I love Pink Nori, my sushi spot down the street.
I went to this really good place, South Slope. Oh, well, I don't like sushi, which is something I'm really trying to work on. And have been working on for now like 5 years. But there's this really good ramen place that I had that has delicious sushi, apparently. But it's called South Slope Ramen. Anyways.
Cheers. No. Yeah, so I've never been. I would be happy to go. I hear their crispy rice is fantastic. I'm
that only... I can fuck with.
No, you wouldn't fuck with it because it comes with spicy tuna on it.
Oh, I do love sushi rice, and especially crispy sushi rice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down to go. You were going to leave hungry.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly don't go to Nobu to be, like so satisfied.
No, like, you're definitely going to pick up Chipotle on the way home, but, like, that's just kind of what you get with Nobu. But, Heather, I don't know the landscape of Newport Beach very well. In my mind, it's a lot of what's a good example? Like, well, we were talking about the Smith last time. I feel like there's a lot of the Smiths, like a lot of like elevated, like
fast casual.
Yeah, what's a good example of like a elevated fast, not cheesecake, like higher than cheesecake, like Ruth's Chris, like that, you know, like a steakhouse or, like a or no, Benihana is not elevated, babe. No, like a Ruth's Chris or like a steakhouse, like a Grand Lux Cafe, which is like the elevated cheesecake factory. Like, I feel like Newport is all of that. And then,
sure.
But that is beneath Heather still. We're still beneath Heather, right?
Sure.
Heather, but so there's only a couple like C and B scene spots. But this Nobu had no one at it.
There was not one person there, actually.
I was like, what time of day are we here? Because my mind was going crazy because she was like, I have a red eye to catch, which I'm sorry. If I have a red eye, you need to know that I'll probably wake up at 6 a.m. and just stare at the clock until the red eye.
Whole day. I'll be sitting on my couch like the Candy Muse meme, like at the alone in the club. Like,
right. Of course.
Should I leave now? No, should I leave now? Know. Like every 30 minutes.
Like I had a red eye from Vegas one time. The whole day I sat in the hotel room just be like, well, I guess my life's over. I hate it. I hate red eyes.
I hate late night flights like that. Mm-hmm. Any flight that's like after, honestly, like 1 p.m. I'm like, my day's over.
Yeah, I'm like, I actually can't go work out today.
Yeah, no, I don't even have 30 minutes.
I got about 30 minutes. My flight's at 10 p.m. So I think it got me for a second.
But it's also just a classic Heather Dubrow thing of like, I'm going to take everybody to this like nice dinner on this. Why are we writing on this little like tiny ass boat?
I thought that was cute. I thought that was fun. You didn't like that? I thought I would have liked that.
It reminded me of the suburbia thing when we were kids of the hot pink limo that the girls would get for their like 13th birthday.
Yes.
What was the name of that?
It was like some glam.
Glitter girl or
glitter
like,
girl. No, glitter. I think that might have been it.
It wasn't that. Yeah, it wasn't that.
So there was a limo that would come and pick up girls. I mean, girls.
Child. Children.
It's a child. And that's
an ugly, typically gay. Thank you. but it was like a classic like 13, 12,
yeah,
14.
And you would just literally like drive around. You would literally just get on the highway and then come back home. And in that time, you just
crazy.
You just do your makeup.
No, Tom, you're absolutely wrong.
Someone does
your
makeup?
They pick you up and they take you to the store and then they do your hair and makeup at the store, at the mall.
I thought everything happened in the limo.
No, like a party bus. The limo's a part of the like experience.
Got it.
Like they just pick you up and like take you to literally the mall.
Copy. I mean, Sounds like what we're doing to Beyonce.
No, we are doing that. But yeah, an adult version, sure.
Yeah, but it was a pink
limo.
But
that's what the boat reminded me of, because it was so fucking small. Like, why you were they on it?
Would you have a panic attack on that boat?
No, because it was daytime.
So, but it's so
small. If it
was
nighttime, I can't do that. I can't do that.
Why not?
There's
night?
Like the night water, I can't do night swimming, even if in a pool. I fucking would rather die, honestly, because I'm going to die.
In a little pink boat, just going about one knot.
Absolutely.
Or less
You're
than a knot.
You're sitting level with the water. That makes me want to throw up.
You're not, nothing's gonna happen. There's no waves in the little channel.
Oh god, it literally makes me sick. Like, it makes me so freaked out. I can't even talk about it.
Okay, well, yes, yeah, so they take this little boat over to Nobu because Nobu has a dock, as Heather said, and yeah, they go to this dinner. Brunch. I still think that I think it was like noon.
No, it was no. I don't think Nobu had even opened, based on how there was literally no one there.
Not a soul. Like when Tamara stormed out and went downstairs, like it was like no one was working. No, there was like one woman checking, being like, "Do you guys have a table for two? Do you serve eggs?"
And it was. Ooh.
No, I'm saying that because it's so early.
No, I know. Oh my god. No, it's so weird. I just can't. Her, like, attachment to Nobu is exhausting, as her attachment to champagne is exhausting as well.
Yeah. Champagne, if anyone drinks champagne just mainlining for a whole day, I mean, if you've done that before, you feel like you're going to projectile vomit.
You get, like, it's so salty.
Well, it's just sweet and like the bubbles. And like for me, when I have champagne, I get like almost like a head high. I'm like, you just feel kind of like, oh my God, what's going on? And I just feel sick to my stomach. I don't know how.
To make it your whole personality is exhausting. As someone who drinks red wine like constantly, and that's essentially half of my personality, I guess. So, no, it's not half, but you know what I mean? It's like. Everybody has their thing, but there's something about champagne being her thing.
Yeah, it's inseparable.
It's just, like, it's just a show. It's a show. I mean, it is literally a show, but it's also, that's why OC like truly exhausts me, because I don't think any of these women have anything to talk about other than like fighting about things because of it.
You don't get any enjoyment about the IMDb fight?
No.
Are you kidding me? I was lolling the whole way.
I just like, this is why like, we talked about Roni on Wednesday, and they're just like, they're having annoying conversations, but I don't know.
This is low stakes to me. Like, we're in the lowest of stakes.
But maybe I'm just have such an aversion to OC in general that I'm just not into it.
That's fine. You don't have to watch it.
I mean, okay.
You don't. We're not sitting here straight covering anything, and like, I don't care.
No.
If you don't like it, then watch it.
I won't, actually. So
yeah, I know you won't. No, but I really like Jen. I think Jen was a great addition to the gang.
She's great.
And I like Taylor in the mix too.
There's something so always hilarious to me about like a white woman having a yoga studio named Namaste, that it's just like so cliche for just suburbia that it's like chef's kiss, I guess.
I have a great story that I can't tell on pod about an employment situation, and it has to do with the white usage of namaste, and it really tickles me. But I don't think that
namaste in bed.
It's along those lines where I'm like, y'all realize that like that means something to people.
It's so fucking annoying.
White people are so embarrassing.
They're embarrassing. I'm embarrassing. We're all embarrassing.
Embarrassing. The way the
like,
white
well,
brain
like
works
white
is embarrassing.
White people have no culture too. That's like the whole thing. It's like there's also this funny like TikTok trend of like, oh yeah, white people have no culture. Well, look at this, and it's a sign that says like Jesus first, then coffee.
Like, right. I'm like, what do we have? Nothing, because we're dumb.
And steal. The only thing we have is what we've stolen.
The only thing we have is Jesus, and then the rest we stole, I guess. But Jesus wasn't white.
Jesus is not a white person.
No, I know. So. I'm saying that, like, I feel like most people think Jesus is the leader of the whites, but unfortunately, Jesus wasn't white, baby.
Unfortunately, it's Taylor Swift.
Okay, speaking of what we're watching, what I'm watching is that frightening video of those girls singing Love Story on that airplane.
Okay, as someone who loves the only single album Taylor Swift has ever created, and that is Speak Now, I would rather have my plane crash than be on an airplane where people are, one, singing. Two, singing that.
Yes, one, singing. But Tom, the fuck wants
you
to be
and
in
I
plane?
Have both been on an airplane where we have been told to sing. Tell me that's not true.
When
I, like in high school choir, when we would travel.
No.
No, it happened to me.
It did not happen to me.
When we were going to Italy for like a summer like choir trip, when we would like bop around little places and sing songs on the way there, Miss Martinez, I'm going to call her out.
Drag her.
She is.
Say her government name, Adela Martinez.
She made us all sing. I can't even remember what we sung. Probably some dumbass song, but we did sing. It was probably her school song, to be honest. But
Adela Martinez was a twisted bitch, and so I bet you she knew it was embarrassing and wanted to embarrass
y'all. Now that we're like kind of back around to adulthood, now that we're adults, I'm like, she's kind of fun.
I don't know about that, but she she had very weird close relationships with the students and would gossip with them. I don't know that like qualifies
that's
as
not fun.
Fun.
That's certainly
but
not fun. Yeah.
I definitely think she knew that was probably really, really embarrassing and wanted to embarrass everyone.
Which now I'm laughing. So.
No, I've never sat on a plane, but I would be deeply uncomfortable on that plane. And if you're a Swiftie and you're listening, I'm not attacking you. Okay, I want you to take a deep breath on that. I don't judge Swifties. I'm not mad at Swifties.
Log off Twitter for a hot second.
Yeah, I'm not mad at Swifties. I'm happy you're happy. Okay, I am. I'm so happy you're happy. I'm so happy you found a space where people love what you love and look exactly like you. I'm so happy for you. No, I'm kidding. I'm very, and we all have shit. We all have things that we're obsessed with. We're sitting here talking about fucking Bravo. I've been watching it since I was a kid. I also am deeply in love with Beyonce. Like that, I've been in.
I had a cardboard cutout
of Beyonce next to my bed when I slept as a middle school child. I understand
straight
stand-up.
Totally straight.
Was so straight then. But all I have to say is like, I just personally, for me, I don't get it. So when I watch those things, as you probably watch something that I love, you're like, I don't get it. And it's just hard for me. I would never, of all the things I love, I would never subject
I wouldn't
300
even
people to the thing I love.
I would never even do that if Beyonce was like, someone was like, let's sing a Beyonce song.
No, I'm going to say something that the Swifties
that's
should
embarrassing.
Skip. Well, I'm going to say something that the Swifties should skip over. Okay. So pause. I would say skip 30 seconds. I don't think that people in the Beehive would act the same way.
No, they would not. No, they would
and
not.
I think that's how we should wrap up that conversation.
Excellent. Well,
but happy for you guys. Happy.
That's a
love story, baby.
Just say yes. What else are you watching? What else are you tuning into?
I'm watching this. Well, One Project Runway is so good.
It's really, really effing excellent.
And something I love about it is that no one's talking about it. I just love it.
Let's talk about it.
No. I don't even know if I want to talk about it. I'm saying I love that there's no discourse about it.
You want to keep it.
Yeah, it's just like my little bedtime
show.
I'm
watching so much Love Island that I'm like, keep your cards close to your chest. Right. They say that all the time.
Well, yeah, Kix and I, and then our one of our best friends, Allison, we like will text every week about like who we thought should have gone home. And I like to just leave it there. You know, like
leave it on the dance floor.
But all I gotta say is just watch it. It's amazing. There's nothing really to recap about it. It's fabulous.
It's just a good time. I am watching, of course, we talked about Roni, but I I am trying to catch up on Atlanta. I watched the most recent episode of Atlanta.
The last two got interesting. Now,
yes,
something there's some trouble afoot, which has my ears perking up a little bit. So I find the story about Drew's sister, who's 20 years older than her, to be extremely interesting. And I want to dive more into it. I like the way that Ralph won't let her in their home until the, like, literally this year. Her just sobbing, like, her managing her career. This woman, her sister, is, like, wildly successful. And there's a reason Drew was a part of the Step Up cinematic universe. It's this woman.
I think Drew is a real find in the Bravo universe.
I agree. I think she's great.
I think she's incredible. She'll share it all.
She's very open.
She will talk about anything she wants. I think that her horrible relationship, clearly they're getting divorced, IRL, the sister, the family, the, like, stepdad, the Ralph writing a book about being a stepdad. Like, it's all just like, no.
But Ralph is writing a book, was trying to write a book about being a stepdad, and then decided to not adopt the kid that would have made him a stepdad.
It would have made him a dad.
No, like,
he's a stepdad now. What I'm saying, he's a stepdad now.
Oh, I just understand what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, it would have made him a dad. You're right. But, like, he just kind of left the kid to dry. And also, we've seen on television that kid has, last season we saw that kid sob about his own dad, like his dad. And, like, I'm like, you're doing this on national television, just scamming people left and right. And I'm sorry. Did you have a full cackle about the Vegas of it all?
It's too much. What I after this episode, what I think I came to the conclusion on is that Drew and Ralph were already separated when this episode was filming, because the way he is acting at that weird ass brunch, it's a brunch, dinner, whatever the fuck that
like, it's, no, it's brunch, I think. Yeah,
he is not being a human. He is really just, like, pretending for camera. You can tell. And I think that Drew and him had, like, an agreement for the show, and that I believe that they love each other and that they were married, but there's something about this episode that gave me an ick, and it kind of questioning actually what their relationship status was real IRL and when they were filming, because the Vegas thing, Drew is laughing about it so nonchalantly that it's clear that it's an issue that, like, you're talking about because you're feeling insecure about it, so you're trying to make a joke. Like, there was just something about this episode that I was like, something's already off, that I think that they were already separated.
That's a hot take. I mean, I don't know that I agree necessarily, but I mean, power to you. I think, though, in my mind, the agreement, I think there might have been an agreement to stop talking about our relationship on camera, because they were way too open last season. That awful dinner, like in that first episode or second episode, where they had that private dinner and he just gaslit her, like, every minute of the whole
thing. Her tagline being like, I'm not, what is her tagline? It's like something about gaslighting. I am the spotlight. It's like,
is that her tagline this season?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Once again, a true Bravo find.
But also, apparently, she is with a woman now.
Oh, add him to the list.
I know. Yeah, what is this? The pipeline of housewives turn lady lovers is really stacking up. I feel like a lot of women go through that in general. Like
totally.
And especially at an age where men are trash, and men don't listen and understand the way that women's bodies change as they mature. And, like, I feel like some women are like, fuck y'all. Like, you don't want to, through menopause and things like that, like, men have such a bizarre gross view on, like,
it's such, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I could go crazy,
but like, I think that's why women are like, I want someone who celebrates me, and that's a lot of times it's just another woman.
It also has so much to do with, like, sometimes this is so derailing, but like, there is birth control really fucks with women's hormones, obviously, because that's the point of it. But it also fucks with women's sexuality, because like, sometimes when you're on birth control, your sexual urges are so diminished and you don't really think about it, that like, when you get off birth control, and I bring this up because like, post babies and post menopause and premenopausal women, your hormones are shifting and changing. And then like, when things start to settle, you're like, oh shit, I actually like women. It like happens so often, like with people who people who start birth control at a really early age, like, because it fucks with your hormones, it fucks with your sexuality, like your sexual intuition, not your inherent sexuality. But anyways, so
yeah, I get it.
That's my soapbox.
Interesting. Yeah, well, power to Drew.
Power to the gays.
Because the rumor was she had a bit of a relationship with the woman that she filmed that scene with. I think that was a bit of a sexual awakening.
A sexual awakening.
Yeah, but Atlanta's okay. It's okay. You know, I think what they need to do is I think the cast should be Drew, Candy, Kenya, and Phaedra. Oh, not Phaedra. Oh my God. Sheree. And cast 5 newbies. And have them navigate.
See, I
newbies.
Like Sonia.
No, I can't. I can't do it anymore. I don't like her. She doesn't feel authentic at all to me. She feels so fake.
Yeah, that's totally right. Yeah,
like it just. She's all. I respect her because she's a hustler. Like, she hustles for.
Hustles.
And I've said this too about a lot of. Actually, I've said this about like a lot of the women on that show. Like, they all hustle, have different hustles in different ways. Like, Marlo has hustled to be, she's like, I'm just going to be rich. And so she literally works her ass off to find men to be rich with, you know? And then Candy works her ass off to build generational wealth for her family.
An empire.
Yeah. But for me, Sonia, sometimes I feel like there's a level of like, I just want to be famous.
Yeah.
Like, she likes the
fame. I mean, I hear you.
There's
a little try hard, if you will.
It is a little try hard. And she lives in this world where she's always been the star of her little circle, right? Because like, her family they've always been all on top of each other and supporting her dreams, you know?
And she's an Olympian. So, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we shouldn't have supported her Olympic journey. I just mean like, I think she's just used to being the center of her familial circle. And I worry that what that can do to a family. And to her, psyche, right? Because she's been in
absolutely.
The center of attention of like everything. But I think there's just some dark, it's just something we get all of the darkness. I think she was shocked when her sister on camera said everything she had to say to her at that weird little fundraiser thing.
Oh, Jesus.
And then she just left.
Yeah.
But also her sister did her... I'm sorry. Hire someone else to do your hair. Like, why is your sister doing your hair?
Because it's like, I guess she's supporting her family.
I know, but like
here,
outsource.
My PA.
That's my advice. That's my advice to her. Outsource everything.
Never work with a relative.
Don't. Never do it. I would never do it. Yeah, but what else am I watching? I also am loving Crappy Lake.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. So
did you watch it yet?
I watched the most recent episode.
Oh, you didn't watch the first two?
No, I didn't.
Oh, good. Why? You gotta go to the beginning. Why'd you jump into 3?
I know, because I was trying to be social.
Okay. Okay, well, just start at the top.
I'm having a really fun time for the episode I watched. I think I'm just so happy that these girls are back on our screen.
You're like, 20 minutes ago, I had a blast for 20 minutes.
20 minutes ago I was watching OC, being like, shit, I gotta catch up.
You don't have to catch up. We have offline conversations where I'm like, Kix, the point of these filler episodes are just to talk about what media you're consuming. And she's like, watching Crappy Lake.
Well, I'm consuming so much Love Island, and you're not watching it.
But tell me about it.
We're having a full Love Island episode next week, which we talked about, which I fucking can't wait. This was like the first season of UK that I've ever watched, period.
What do you mean? I thought you'd watch. See, you've told me told me other good seasons of UK before.
No, I did not.
You did.
No, I certainly did not.
You and Jared watched one.
No, we watched We watched the first season of US.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. And I didn't, and it was fun because it was like 5 days a week. So you're like, we're all in this together, because it's literally 100 hours of television at this point a week. But I didn't realize the level of excellency that Love Island was until UK. There's just something so different about it than the US. I haven't watched. I need to catch up.
I pressed play on episode one of US. And I turned it off at about minute six.
I saw the promo for it, and I like men sexually, but I'm at this point where I'm like, those men.
I didn't even get to the men. I just got to this one girl who was just like flailing on a floaty and was just like, I was like, I don't think
that's what
I can
I'm saying.
This.
There's something about UK that maybe it's their accents that we like so much, but it's also like the show is so unfiltered that, and for me, when I sit there and watch it, I could be sitting there for an hour or I could be sitting there for six, and I'm honestly meditating because I don't know what they're saying. They're talking in such gibberish, but I'm following the story that I'm like, I'm at peace.
Yeah, the story. I mean, I might just honestly watch I just want to watch Casa Bonita. What's it called?
Casa Amor. Well, this is my recommendation for people who want to watch Love Island, but don't want to spend 100 hours a week watching Love Island, because I get it. I think After Sun is a great place to start. Like, if you're like, I want to know what's happening in the season, they recap the whole week and they talk about more shit, and you get more Maya, because that woman, the host of Love Island UK, is so fucking amazing and hilarious. It's just like it's like literally Watch What Happens Live, but just about the week of Love Island. Mm-hmm. So I think that for people who don't want to spend that much time, that would be a great option. And then my recommendation would be to like watch After Sun and then watch the full week of Casa Amor. And then, because so much shit goes on, and I'm like literally live texting Kendrick being like, what's Casa Amor, are they on a boat? Like, I didn't know what it was, because it wasn't a US thing.
They had it in the US. On the US season I watched, they had it.
Because I only watched the first season of
They didn't
US.
Have Casa Amor.
No, not on the first US season.
How? That's like the staple part.
I watched every episode. I know how.
No, I know. That to me, that was the biggest takeaway of the season of Love Island I watched.
Well, what I saw, because I Googled when Casa Amor started. It started like 3 UK seasons ago. So it's like not an OG thing, but it's not like new, but it's not old. But it's really fabulous.
No, Casa Amor is the best. So for those that don't know, what happens in Casa Amor is they...
I didn't know. And I had to Google it six times to figure out what it was.
You're blowing my mind. I thought you claim to be this like Love Island like expert, I thought.
No, I just, there's a lot of fucked up shit that happens with Love Island post
filming.
So that's what I know.
Got it.
And I watched US. That's it.
Okay. So Casa Amor, what happens is they usually do it about like, you're like 3/4 of the way into the season. And everyone's pretty comfy, cozy with their couples.
Closed off.
Yeah. And they separate the men and the women. And one of, like, either the men or the women will go to a new full villa.
Looks identical.
Looks identical. And there is a whole new batch of partners for them to hang out with for a whole week. And then then the other people stay at the villa that they've been filming at, and they send in a whole new batch of partners for the week. And then so they spend the whole week figuring out if they want to hook up with anyone, playing flirty games, having flirty banter. And
gaffing. That was a new word that I learned.
And then what happens is they do a recoupling and they can couple up with the Casa Amor people, leaving their current partners in the dust. So they don't know.
It's essentially like, it's a blind recoupling.
Yeah. They don't know if they're going to, if the person that they thought that they love so much is actually going to be there when they get back.
It's fabulous television. I think, I'm in. I'm like, I was kind of, my toes were in the water, but now I'm head first. And next week, we will dive into it much more about this specific season, because I had a, it was a wild ride for me, but I think it wasn't even the wildest of all of UK.
I've heard though it's a great season. So
yeah,
happy for, like Taylor Swift, I'm happy for everyone who watches it. But I actually would like to be a part of that cult.
You had a fun time. That's what I'm saying. After Sun, I feel like After Sun is a perfect jump in the water for you, because then you can know the names and you can know the vibe.
I know the main character. I watched the first 25 episodes. That's the thing. It's like I've watched a lot of it, but it's not nearly enough. So, what else am I watching? Oh, something we keep forgetting to talk about is the breakdown. Now, I've not watched this television program at all. Okay, not a moment except for this moment. Are you familiar with what happened on Claim to Fame on CBS?
No.
Oh, you are? Are you? Okay.
Yes.
So for those that don't know, there's a show called Claim to Fame hosted by Kevin Jonas. That's the forgotten. That's like the third
The normal. There's a forgotten.
No. I understand that. Kevin is the third, right? Like the Kevin's there's the Nick, third Joe, of the and then Jonas Kevin.
Brothers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kevin, and then there's a fourth Jonas brother who's the baby of the family. Kevin and the fourth forgotten Jonas host a show called Claim to Fame. I believe it's on CBS or Fox, where they put a bunch of people who have famous relatives in a house, and they essentially have to figure out who's related to who, and by the end, whoever hides their relative the longest wins. Something like that. The first person that goes home on the most recent season is this woman who is related to Tom Hanks. And she's mad the whole first episode because they have like such obvious clues. Like they get clues, I guess, and like challenges or things like that.
It also looks like it's filmed in the Bachelor Mansion.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
And I guess her clue was like a park bench and like a Wilson volleyball. And she's like, okay, like, everyone's going to figure it out. Like Forrest Gump and Castaway, like, hello, like maybe one of our most famous movie stars of all time in this generation.
But do they have to like get to the end without people knowing?
I don't know. I don't know. I believe that is the general premise, that you want to keep something a bit of a mystery. Yeah. So they find out who she's related to, and she has a full mental break.
A mentee B
as the girls say it on TikTok. And it is, you must get your eyes on it. Have you watched it, Kix?
No, I have not.
You gotta watch it.
I've seen people being posting about it.
I have not seen the episode. Don't watch that. Literally just watch. It's like a 30-second clip of her getting eliminated. She stomps back into the house, screaming in the house. Like crying, wailing. And everyone's like,
What do you think Tom Hanks thought about it? Because he's definitely seen it.
Well, he's probably seen it now, but I have to, my first thought is there is no way. Well, two thoughts. One, do we think he actually is like knows her? Or is she like a distant relative, right?
Sure, like,
and maybe she's
cousin,
a closer relative. I don't know the lineage there. But then my other thought, Tom Hanks, we got some crazies in the family. Because we got Chet.
But he's so... Oh, yeah.
Chet Hanks. The idea that Chet Hanks and this woman have intermingled at like a catered family party sounds like pure hell. Yeah.
Honestly, I want to be there because that sounds, it sounds like pure hell, but also an LOL.
Like, I'm sure Chet Hanks has like screamed at her in patois. Like, I want to see them interact. So, I don't know. I just, why does Tom Hanks have all these crazies around him?
I feel like we're going to get a reality TV show now that everybody's on strike called like The Other Hanks instead of The Other Two. And it's literally just Chet and this girl.
There's something about The Other Hanks that sounds porn adjacent. I don't know what it is. Yeah, no, I would watch Chet and her Simple Lifestyle, Crappy Lake Style, just kind of like go around the world. Or have her go visit Chet in some country that speaks patois in the Caribbean. I'm not condoning his patois behavior. It's fucking disgusting and bizarre. So
he is so gross.
Yeah. So that was one thing. The other thing I would like to talk about for a brief second is the Golden Bachelor.
We have a boots on the ground.
We do?
We do. And I
a walker on the ground?
What?
It's a joke about him being old.
Oh, maybe like a Dr. Scholl's on the ground.
A Dr. Scholl's on the ground.
Well, there's these viral shoes that are going viral. And they're like cute Dr. Scholl's shoes. Anyways, so we have a boots on the ground of someone's... So my friend's boyfriend's cousin's mom.
Whoa.
Like, it's like... Yeah.
Wait, say it one more time.
He's on the show.
One more time for the listeners at home.
My friend's boyfriend's... cousin's mom.
Okay, so their aunt.
I actually don't think it's like I
your
think
friend's
it's,
boyfriend's aunt.
Let's see, it's friend's boyfriend's relative. Okay. Let's just say that
is on the show. You didn't tell me.
Is
this
is on the show. Is on the show.
Okay.
And I don't. That's all old? The info I know, to be honest. But so I looked. Okay. I got it. I got it. Friend's boyfriend's dad's cousin.
Wait, friend's boyfriend's dad's cousin. Oh, so that's very distant.
Is on the show. His mom is legit friends with her. So like, it's like a, it's not, it is a boot on the pavement.
Okay.
But distant, yes.
I did read today that the women all are 60 plus.
I love that.
Same.
Because in my mind, I'm like, I'd go on the show because I want someone to pay my rent.
Well, I could have seen The Bachelor because The Bachelor really doesn't have their finger on the pulse of anything by putting, having like an old man and then all these young girls.
It sounds like a fun show, honestly.
I know, but I'm like, well, and I what do you, I threaded? What do you say when you tweet something?
I threaded that.
Well, I was threading and I was just like, the bachelor won't cast anyone on any sort of queer spectrum.
Nope.
Won't cast anyone on any sort of body diversity.
Sure. Yeah.
And then they will only dabble a pinky toe into casting people of different ethnicities once in a while when they feel like it's worth it or not worth it, when they feel like will complain.
They haven't done enough. Right. Yeah.
But in the drop of the hat, they're able to get their hands on a 71-year-old man with hearing aids. I'm like, this is insane and the most expected move out of them.
And for it to be a man also, like a white man to be like the first like old bachelor is pretty hilarious. Not old, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
what do you mean? No, he's old, Kix. He's 71.
I guess 71 is, he's old. Like, it's not a young person.
Like, that's older than mom and dad. That's old.
He doesn't look 71.
Well, mama has some spray tan going on.
Where do you think she's from? He's
Florida?
Very tan. I think it's Florida. It's Florida.
It's giving
Newport
Florida.
Beach.
It's also giving, say it with me, Republican.
Yeah. You know what would be a fun twist? You know, I'm not gonna put it past him. Maybe he's not.
Okay. I might watch, honestly.
His name is Jerry, which feels like very, it's like feels almost too cliche.
Too cliche what? Like
Jerry. It's just like old man. His name's Jerry. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. When even I think of like Jerry, I just think of Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Just like a Jerry.
Why is it golden? I don't get that.
Like golden girls.
Golden age?
Old.
Is that a thing people say? Okay.
Like, well. I think literally like Golden Girls. I'm not kidding.
Well, the Golden Girls were literally not old.
The Golden Girls were in their 40s. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Golden Girls could be this
as
man's
old as
children.
The Sex and the City Girls. Yeah.
The child. And that's an ugly, ugly
coach. Well, anything else you're watching?
Just honestly, I'm watching Chernobyl, which is not, I know I'm like 100 years late to the party.
I want to like rip the band-aid off. I'm watching Chernobyl.
Oh. I was so pissed.
And just what about In Just Like That? You're watching that.
I am watching In Just Like That. I'm not caught up, but I did hear the exciting news.
Yes, I did too. We won't spoil it here for people. That okay, show, I'm happy to get spoilers on.
You're happy to?
Yeah, like we were talking earlier about how the spoiler stuff is frustrating. For that show, it's just so ridiculous that I'm like, what else we got throwing coming at us? Like, I don't really care as much.
It honestly makes the show a little more fun to me.
Yeah.
That, like, there's something about the, like, the spoilers on Evan Ross. It's not even spoilers because we can all watch the show at the same time.
Right.
But yeah, yeah.
Are you liking Chernobyl?
I got convinced. It takes no time to convince me to pretty much say or watch anything or do
not
anything.
Not really.
But
I tell you to watch things that you'll love and you watch them 10 years later and you're like, this is amazing.
I am liking Chernobyl.
I think I probably suggested Chernobyl to you.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. No, it was like obviously like a really famous show. It won like 10 Emmys. But it's good. Right. I'm not quite done with it. I'm like on episode 3.
You're on the third of a lot of shows. Is that where you fall off usually?
Typically, yeah.
You've watched like three episodes.
Whoa. I watched 3 episodes of In Just Like That as well.
I knew that. And this and Crappy Lake. That's where you're at.
Oh, and OC.
Yeah, I know. You don't watch.
Wow.
You can't commit for longer than that.
I don't have commitment problems in real life. That's what's crazy. It's like just a it's just a TV thing.
No, I don't know. We don't need to dive into it all. But once again, next week we will not have a throwback episode. Kix is going to be doing a special little ep about Love Island with Sel from the Who Asked Me podcast and Kendrick from Reality and Comics 2. And then the week after that, we will have some special guests on to dive into something special that we'll reveal next week. So keep your ears open.
It's Chernobyl.
It's Chernobyl. So yeah, keep your ears open for that. And if you're in New York and you're free next Wednesday night, come to the show. I will be there. And so will a lot of people that we've had on the pod. So go check it out. Bye.
Bye.
That's another ep in the books. Make sure to follow me at Tom Hamlet on Instagram. And you can follow Kix.
At Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X. And make sure to follow the pod on IG at Dumpster Dive Pod. And on TikTok at 2 Dumpster Divas.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us and all the pods you love on your favorite app of choice. And we will see y'all soon.
Bye.